tuned to yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Horror coming up in this hour. Later on, a story from the Macabre series from 1961. But right now, the Weird Circle adapts a very old story from Fitz James O'Brien called A Terrible Night. This was released by NBC Syndication in 1943.
The file of men moves slowly through the night to the mysterious cave by the sea to unveil the stories of the past. Listen to the Weird Circle. Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, A Terrible Night.
Silence in the court. Next witness, please.
If Your Honor, please. The next witness is Charles Castar, the defendant in this case. Will Mr. Castar please take the stand?
Silence in the court.
Place your left hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Suppose, Mr. Castar, you tell this court your story in your own words.
From the very beginning?
Don't be afraid. From the very beginning.
Well, I don't know where to start, to be honest. I feel like a man that's drowning. I guess it started the night my wife, Bertha, and her brother, Dick Linton, were helping me to pack my suitcase. Dick and I were preparing to go on a hunting trip in Canada, in the northwest section, when...
And don't forget to put the compass in, Charlie. A hunting man needs a compass, you know.
Sure he does. Keeps him from getting lost.
See how bright my wife is, Dick? She knows all the answers.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
I know, Bertha, I know.
It's just that when a gal's brother and husband go gallivanting off on a hunting trip to the North Woods, a gal wants to know they're coming back safe.
Now you worry about Charles, Bertha. You know me. I never get lost. You remember the camping trips we used to take when we were kids?
You were a Boy Scout then, Dick.
He's no Boy Scout now.
Hey.
Well, let's see, darling. Have I got everything packed in here?
Yes, dear, everything. Wool and underwear.
You're a lucky man to have a wife
gun
like
cartridges?
My sister, Charles.
For both guns?
Mm-hmm. The cartridges for the hunting gun are in the rear pocket of the suitcase.
Uh-huh.
And for the .38, they're in your holster.
Oh, good girl.
Where's your suitcase, Dick?
Oh, it's checked at the station.
Hey, what time is it?
Well, it's almost 10 p.m.
Oh, we better be going along, darling. I like to catch my trains with ease.
I'll help you close the suitcase, Charles.
The best suitcase sitter on her in the world.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, hey, that does it. You can get off now.
Have a nice trip, both of you. Bring back at least 2 dozen deer.
Oh, at least, sis. Bye, honey.
Bye. Oh, don't forget your muffler, darling. It's in the closet downstairs. And please, please be careful. When little boys play with guns, well, you know how dangerous guns can be.
So we left, Dick and I. We took the express to Montreal and then traveled by train west of the Hudson Bay to the Northwest Territory, specifically to a small town known as Fort Ray. What equipment we hadn't already purchased, we purchased there, mostly food provisions and plenty of coffee. Then, on the morning of September 3rd, Dick and I started out on foot. It was a clear, brisk morning, and the air was alive with sounds. Birds chirping, the constant crunch of leaves underfoot. We were both in high spirits, as Dick said.
Oh, this is the life, old boy. This is what a man needs. To get away from civilization and breathe again.
Back to nature.
Mm-hmm. Back to nature's right. You know, there's something the matter with modern civilization. You get all jogged up inside. Begin to think all sorts of strange things.
Strange, Dick? In what way?
Oh, morbid thoughts. Hating yourself, hating everybody else, hating the world. You know, that's bad for a writer. His work becomes bitter, and he pours the gall out in words. Paints the world he sees in gray overtones.
You mean like that last story you sold?
Yeah. It was a depressing story, but that was my mood.
Both you and Bertha have morbid emotional streaks.
Well, Sis and I are very much alike in many ways.
Funny, my marrying Bertha.
What's so funny about it? You know, I engineered it.
You did? Why?
Well, Bertha and I have always been pretty close, you know. Much closer than ordinary brother and sister. I didn't want to see her marry some clerk.
Well, thanks, Dick.
You be my roommate at college. I got to know you pretty well. Yeah, sis and I have the same likes and dislikes, and I just knew you were right for her.
You mean to tell me I didn't have anything at all to say about it?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Well, Bertha's beauty, her chemistry, if you like, and youth took care of the rest.
You sound like an old, old man airing philosophy.
I told you, I've been civilized too long.
You've been a bachelor too long. I think I'll dig up a nice young girl for you. Marriage is a sensation, Dick. Well worth a try.
Well, I don't quite like the idea of digging up a girl for me. Sounds like she's been buried already. Here, we turn this way, to the north now.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I know these north woods like a... Oh,
like a book.
Yes, like a book. You'll never get lost with me. We'll be at the next port by 6 this evening.
I still think we ought to have taken a guide along.
Oh, nonsense. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all. Just stick to Dick Linton and you can't go wrong.
Nothing to worry about. That's the way writers are. So sure of themselves. Except they ought to stick to paper and pencil, not to their memories of North Woods. At 6 o'clock in the evening, there wasn't a fort in sight. And by 10 o'clock that night, even die-hard Dick had to admit...
Well, we're lost.
No.
Yeah, we're lost. I'm sorry, Charles. Well, you're being pretty monosyllabic about the whole thing.
Normal under the circumstances. Hey, that wasn't the wind, was it, Dick?
No, wolves.
Wolves?
Not afraid of them, are you?
Oh, no, I love them. Especially at night when I'm cold and hungry. And they are, too.
Well, we'll have to sleep in the trees.
You'll have to sleep in the trees. I wasn't built that way.
You can't sleep on the ground. You'll never live through the night if you...
I'm not sleeping on the ground, Dick. I'm walking until we find someplace.
Well, we might not find the fort till tomorrow morning.
Or tomorrow evening. But whenever it is, I'm going to find it as soon as possible. Even sooner than that, if that keeps up. You coming with me?
Sure, I'm with you.
Oh, boy, I'm hungry.
Oh, say, wouldn't a nice, thick, luscious steak taste good? You know, one of the charcoal broil variety, dripping with butter and fried onions?
Oh, stop it.
Or one of Bertha's lamb stews with mashed potatoes and rich tomato gravy.
If you want to die, just keep on talking. It's the thought of food, and I'm a murdering maniac.
Or how about a real English roast beef with Yorkshire pudding?
Oh, you're asking for it. I wonder just how hungry that wolf is. Maybe he won't mind if his meat isn't cooked, huh?
I'm sure he won't. They're carnivori, which means in Latin carnivorous or man-eaters. Hey, Charlie.
Huh?
Look, straight ahead of you. Isn't that a light over there?
Well, yeah, I think so. Hey, maybe it's the fort.
No, it's not the fort here. We're miles off the beaten track.
Well, what is it then?
I don't know. Looks like a cabin from here.
Oh, I'm not particular. Let's find out.
Fine, I'll lead the way.
Oh, no. You've led the way so far, but this time, Dick, my boy, I'm leading. Follow Charlie and see some food.
Food?
Food. Whoever lives there must eat. Maybe it's not steak, but it's something. It is a cabin, all right. Shall I knock on the door?
Well, you can't get in any other way.
Who can't? This rickety old shack could be blown down by a good strong breath. Funny looking place, isn't it?
I'm not amused. Knock on the door. Such a timid knock.
My hand's numb.
Yeah, well, try it again.
Hope this guy's friendly.
Our friends are sniffing about again.
And I don't look at all well in tomato sauce.
Evening. Something I can do for you, gentlemen?
We managed to...
We hope to find some place to stay for the night, sir. We're completely off the beaten track.
You don't say. Come in. Come in, gentlemen.
Yes.
I'd be delighted to put you up this evening if you don't mind sleeping on the floor in the attic.
Well, at this point, we don't mind anything.
Don't you?
My name's Charles Costar, sir, and my friend is Dick Linton.
How do you do?
Yeah.
My name is Joel. Just Joel. At least, they used to call me Joel. Have you eaten yet this evening?
No, as a matter of fact, and we're starving.
Well, come in and sit down, and I'll fix you some dinner. That is, if you don't mind my meager rations.
Oh, we don't mind anything at this point. Do we, Dick?
Oh, no, definitely not. There's an old American saying, Food is food. Let's eat, huh?
I'll fry some deer steak for you, and I've some wine.
Oh, wonderful. Tell me, Mr. Joel, do you live here all alone?
Unfortunately, yes. You see, I'm an outcast from your society. Let a man be different, and automatically he becomes an outcast.
Yeah, there's something in what you say.
Let him look a little different, or think a little different, or speak a little different, and he becomes a marked man. The individual is not allowed the privilege of individuality. Mankind doesn't permit it.
Oh, I don't think so, really.
Don't you? I'll just set the table and you can sit down over here and eat.
Come along, Charles.
I can prove my point. Now look at me. I'm different. Larger than most men, I unfortunately grew too tall. And I'm too ugly for the average man to stomach. I was hated. Yes, hated by your civilization and feared too. Not because I was cruel or vindictive or dishonest, but because I was different. Yes, yes, I'm a giant in stature. Don't feel badly for me. I've had my revenge on society, and I'll have even more revenge on little people like yourselves.
Yes.
It's quite understandable that you feel that way.
Gentlemen, before you sit down to dinner, allow me to hang your hunting guns up here. They'll bother you if you carry them around.
Oh, well, we really don't mind.
I mind. Your hunting gun, sir. And your hunting gun? There. Now I both, I'll just hang them up here.
You say you live alone, Joel?
Yes.
That shoe in the corner, that was never your shoe. It's too small for you.
You're very observant, Mr. Linton. No, that wasn't my shoe. I found it in the forest one day and brought it home for the purpose of remaking it, like that coat hanging over there.
Found a coat and a shoe lying in this outlandish district?
Yes, yes, a coat and a shoe. Of course, they were on a man, but he was dead. He died of, I don't quite know what he died of. His legs had been gnawed off by some prowling beasts.
Oh, he must have become lost out here, like ourselves, huh?
Exactly like yourselves, gentlemen. Exactly like yourselves. Dinner's ready.
Your testimony, Mr. Castar.
Well, you can see what a spot Dick and I were in. We didn't trust that man for a second. Believe me, he was, well, darn it anyway, the man was unbalanced. It was well after we finished eating dinner that Joel lit a good warm roaring fire in the fireplace, and then,
well, gentlemen, it's time to retire. I'm sleepy, and I'm sure you two are.
Yes, very sleepy. Mind if we take our guns upstairs? I'd like to clean
them. You won't need them this evening. You can clean them in the morning. Come along, please.
Come on, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm right behind you, Dick.
Be careful of this stepladder. It's rickety, to say the least.
So I notice, yeah.
I'll go first and get the blankets out. Yes, fortunately, I have two blankets up here, although they're musty enough.
Don't worry about us.
All right. Come up now.
Right away.
I'd feel a lot better if I had those hunting guns. I don't blame you.
You can see for yourself, Mr. Linton, that this attic is not accustomed to guests. Musty. And the spiders are troublesome to strangers.
Spiders?
They are my friends. My only friends. They say he who shares a roof with you automatically becomes your friend. They have shared this roof with me. for many years. Good night, gentlemen. Sleep well.
Oh, good night.
Great Scott, what kind of a mess have we gotten ourselves into?
I don't know. He's got a cog loose in his mind somewhere, that's certain.
Very certain. What'll we do?
I'll tell you. One sleeps and the other stands guard.
That won't do us any good, Dick. He's 10 times our size, and besides, we're unarmed.
Oh, I've got your .38 in my pocket. Forget about it, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Look, through these boards in the attic. You can watch Joel very easily. The fireplace throws a nice light on him.
How will we arrange the watch?
Well, you go to sleep for an hour.
Yeah.
Then I'll wake you up, give you the gun, and then I'll go to sleep for an hour, and you stand guard, okay?
Yeah. What time is it now?
1 a.m.
What's he doing down there?
Curling up on the floor near the fireplace. About to go to sleep.
I hope he sleeps well. Too well to wake up.
In case he doesn't, I hope your gun works. That's all.
Oh, I'm so sleepy.
Good night.
Proceed, Mr. Castan.
Yes, I put my head on the floor and slept. But I slept a troubled sleep. A restless sleep. And my hands kept clawing the floor. A floor that was alive with insect life. Then, no sooner had I put my head on the floor than it seemed Dick nudged me.
Wake up, wake up. It's 2 a.m.
Oh, okay. What happened?
Nothing. It's your turn now. Oh, I'm really licked. Really licked. So much walking and then all this.
He was quite right. All this. He lay down on the floor, and soon he was sound asleep. Sleeping like he was drugged. Poor Dick was all in. I sat upright, concentrating on sitting upright, to keep my eyes from closing. I was so tired, and my blood ran cold as I kept my eyes glued to the still figure which lay beneath us. The hut was so quiet that my wristwatch sounded like the beating of tom-toms in that silence. Tick, 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 beating off the seconds, perhaps slicing off the seconds left of our lives. And I waited and watched. Then suddenly the huge figure beneath me stretched his huge form in front of the fireplace and yawned. His large, expressionless eyes sought mine through the planks of the floor, and I thought for a moment he saw me sitting there. Perhaps my crouched figure in the attic somehow threw a shadow down on the floor of the hut below. Then he arose, cat-like. That huge form arose gracefully and quietly. He eased himself up and walked to the door as if listening for someone or something. Then, just as quietly, he opened the door and...
Yes? Yes? Yes, come back shortly. Shortly.
He said, come back shortly. Who was he talking to? And what was he talking about? Come back. Come back to murder us. He shut the door just as gently as he opened it. And then returning to the place before the fire, he again curled up near the warmth of the blaze. I glanced down at my watch. It was 3 o'clock. I nudged Dick, gently at first, and then harder. Dick, your turn. Dick, wake up.
Oh, hour up so soon.
Yes. Here's the gun.
Okay, I'm awake.
Anything happened?
Listen, he's got an accomplice.
What?
Somebody was standing outside the door a while back. He told him to come back shortly.
That explains the small shoe, maybe.
Maybe. Oh, I'm so tired, I don't think I can sleep. I don't think I can sleep.
Ah, you'll sleep. Just relax.
I don't think so. Really, I...
Come in.
Yeah? Are they asleep now?
Yes, fast asleep, the poor fools. One of them thought he could stay awake. I could see them taking turns staying awake. But I put enough dope in their wine to knock them out completely.
Have they much money with them?
Who knows? But whatever they have, we need. Here. Give me that log you brought in.
Here you are.
Now I'll splinter it like this. And light one end of it. Nothing like this wood burning to dope them completely.
What will we do with them later?
Put them outside for the animals.
I'll wait down here for you. You go upstairs.
I won't be long. These things never take very long.
Dick.
Give me the gun. Give me the gun.
Huh?
Dick. Dick, have you fallen asleep? Dick, wake up. Dick, are you doped?
Huh?
Dick, he's coming at us. Give me the gun. Give me the gun. Please, Dick, give me the gun. There. There, I've got the gun now. You're laughing at me. You're laughing.
Time to wake up now for the last time.
No, take this. There. There, that's got you. That's got you. That's got you. Where's your friend? Where's the little man? Dick, help me find the little man now. Help me. Help me. Help me. Dick. Dick. I was stunned. Completely stunned. The room looked strange to me. The smoking gun in my hand looked strange to me. The whole world seemed to blot out in front of my eyes, and suddenly I looked down at the dark mass lying at my feet, and then I looked up. My eyes were absolutely level with Joel's eyes as he climbed up into the attic. Then, in a voice filled with horror, he said,
"Great Lord, sir, what have you done? You've killed him, and he was just about to wake you."
Yes. I killed Dick Linton, my best friend, when he was just about to wake me. I'd been dreaming, and I killed him.
Thank you, Mr. Castar. My next witness is Dr. Harding. Now, Dr. Harding, will you please take the stand?
Yes, sir.
Place your left hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You heard the testimony of the defendant, Dr. Harding.
I did, sir.
Is it possible for a man asleep as he was, to fire the gun load at his best friend because of a nightmare?
It was more than a nightmare. It was somnolentia, sleep drunkenness. Overtired as Mr. Costair was, his nerves were overtaxed and his fears and suspicions had been aroused. This result is perfectly natural and certainly medically sound. The defendant was not in his right mind at the time of the murder.
Thank you, Dr. Harding. Gentlemen of the jury, to sum up this case, Joel the Giant had told his guests the truth about the shoe. At the time he opened the door, he was just talking to his dog, who had been scratching outside. But to a man mentally exhausted and filled with fear, Joel's actions were certainly those which would arouse suspicion. Gentlemen, in behalf of my client, I beg leniency. Leniency.
Bertha. Bertha, please, darling. It was all explained in court. This doesn't change anything between us. Nothing at all.
Doesn't it? I love my brother more than you can understand, Charles. I know the court has ruled you innocent. But a court of law has very little to do with a woman's heart.
If you love me, Bertha...
I'll always love you. But I'll never be able to trust you again. There are 7 days in a week, Charles. Some of those days, I'll love you and forget this whole horrible affair. But more days, my brother's face will loom up in front of me.
But Dick would understand.
I wouldn't see you because his face would stand between us. I'd spend those days hating you. So I'm leaving you, Charles. Take good care of yourself. I can't help it. I hope you understand.
Bertha, please.
Goodbye, Charles.
Bertha!
I told you, Charles Castar, I hate civilized society. Don't feel badly for me. I'll have my revenge on society. I'll have even more revenge on little people like you.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought to you the story, A Terrible Night. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to yesterday, an NBC broadcast from 1943. The story, A Terrible Night by Fitz James O'Brien, was first published in Harper's New Monthly Magazine in October of 1956. O'Brien was a well-known writer in the United States after emigrating here in 1852, contributing works to The Home Journal, The New York Times, and Harper's Magazine, with tales of horror, mystery, and several which are considered to be examples of the earliest science fiction stories in literature, like The Diamond Lens and The Wondersmith. He passed away after fighting for the New York National Guard in the Civil War in April of 1862. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now the Armed Forces Radio Service produced series Macabre from December 11th, 1961, that could have been played at a later time, as we'll hear a Halloween reference around the story, The Midnight Horseman.
Man lives in a world of time and space. He lives in a spectrum of the universe. When he ventures beyond this limit, he is in the unknown, a realm where strange forces are brought into play. When man attempts to misuse these forces, he is sometimes destroyed. This is Macabre.
Far East Network presents, in special performance, Macabre. Tonight's story, The Midnight Horseman.
Gentlemen, if you will step down this corridor, I will show you some of the newer paintings which have just arrived.
Really, Roderick, that's all I've heard about since I married you. The house looks like an art gallery now.
Come on, Belle, let's see what the man has. Jason, you and Ella with us?
Yes, Rod. Thanks to you, I know every art dealer in town personally.
Don't be so hard on the boy, Ella. Why, he shops for paintings as you would for hats. Who knows, someday he might find a lost Rembrandt.
Hush!
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the find of the century. The artist is an unknown, Oliver Turnquist. It is called The Lake.
What is the price?
Its value has not yet been determined. It was part of an estate sale we purchased recently in Europe. I should say in the neighborhood of $10,000. Notice the clean strokes of the brush. The kind
of... in the corner. Do you see that?
No. Where?
The picture of a knight on horseback.
What are you two whispering about?
Yes, I see it. May we see the painting of the horseman?
The horseman?
Yes, the old canvas in the corner.
Oh.
The one with the knight.
That one. That really is not for sale. It shouldn't even be out here.
Then why is it on display?
It was part of the estate sale I mentioned. A very sketchy background. The painter unknown. I intended to repack it.
Oh, Jason, he's trying to be mysterious to up the price.
Does it have a title?
Yes, The Midnight Horseman dates from the 13th century.
What an ideal wedding present for you and Jason, Ella. It's ghastly. Besides, he hasn't asked me.
'Tis said that all Irishmen marry late in life. I'll get around to it, my dear, in time.
May I have a closer look?
I would prefer not to show this...
Mr. Brum, we just want to look.
Very well. But I cannot be responsible. You bring this on yourselves.
Don't let him stick you now, Roderick. That's an old gag.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. A portrait, one that should never have been painted. An old canvas, 700 some odd years. I ask you to examine it quickly and then allow me to put it away.
Oh, Roderick, it's terrifying. You're not going to buy that. I won't have it in the house.
I'm just looking at it, Belle.
Magnificent. A black hooded knight with a silver lance seated on a white horse. Buy it.
It is supposed to have been posed by a knight about 1250 A.D. He was betrothed to the Princess Belinda when she was abducted and slain by a ruthless baron. Years afterward, he would search the inns by night in quest of the slayer. The legend grew. It was said centuries later that the flying hoofs of the midnight horseman could be heard searching the countryside for his beloved Belinda and the cruel Baron.
An interesting story, but I don't see why you should be so upset by it.
You see, sir, the portrait's been in my possession about 10 days, and it's hard to explain, but it seems to be more than just a portrait. I am afraid of it.
Fine showmanship, that lad, Mr. Collin. He's just raised the price by at least 10,000.
Why, it's just awful, sitting there with that black hood. He looks like a hangman. Roderick, I won't have it in the house, and that's final.
Ah, good. I'll remove it from...
Mr. Blum, what do you think, Jason?
For some reason, I think the man is actually frightened by his superstitious ignorance. The painting is a masterpiece, nothing else. Buy it if you can.
I'll give you 10,000.
Please, Mr. Linfield, you are a man of wealth, and I am but a poor dealer in the arts. Do not tempt me with
this. I've got to have that portrait. 12,000.
Don't do it, Roderick, for my sake.
15, my final bid. What do you say, Mr. Blum?
A hard bargain. Very well, if you must.
Good boy, Roderick, good boy.
I do so with reluctance. They say that man makes his own hell. I hope you haven't just made your own.
Supper fit for a king, Belle. I'm going to hire that cook right out from under your pretty nose one of these days.
I'm glad you and Ella could stay, Jason.
Brinkley?
Yes, sir.
We'll take our drinks in the library.
Very well, sir.
You girls join us?
Oh, no, not with that picture in there, we won't.
Go ahead. We have plenty of girl talk to catch up on anyway, don't we, Belle?
Come on, Roderick. It seems we're not very popular with the fair sex at the moment.
Right, we'll see you later.
Ah, wonderful girls, wonderful. I may just marry Ella one of these days.
Now, don't get carried away.
What happened to the heat? Do you feel a chill?
Since you mentioned it, yes. I'll have Brinkley check it out when he brings our drinks. Now, let's examine the prize.
Where did you put it?
It's already hung over the fireplace.
A magnificent find. Oh, you stole it at the price.
There he sits, a hooded knight in black armor, poised, waiting.
I see what the art dealer meant. Look, Roderick, at the lance he carries. I can almost understand Blum's feeling that he's more than a portrait.
Yes. At any moment, you expect him to hurl the lance. There's something about it, Jason. Take the hood. Can't see his face, but his eyes seem to burn right through.
Yes. That proves my suspicions. Roderick, I think I know what's wrong with this portrait.
Shall I serve the drinks, sir?
Yes, Brinkley, bring them in. Brinkley, is there anything wrong with the heating system here in the library?
Why, no, sir.
Then why is this room so cold?
Strange, sir. It became this way shortly after you returned from the city today.
I see. Thank you, Brinkley. That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of that?
My boy, I'm going to spend the night by the portrait. I'll need my notes. They're in Ella's car. And your books on the occult.
Jason, you're about ready to leave? We've taken up these people's whole day.
Ella, I'm not going with you tonight.
What?
Ella, dear, drive home like a good girl now. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're spending the night here?
I have a few notes to make.
Jason Van Horn, you're heading for trouble. I'm psychic, you know. There's something wrong with that portrait. I'm warning you to leave it alone.
Ella, will you go home?
Ella, will you go home? Who do you think you are anyway? Well, let me tell you, it's just as well I didn't marry you.
Take my notes out of the car before you leave. She's a spirited little devil, isn't she?
I think you should go with her and forget the whole thing.
Roderick, my boy, leave old Jason alone now. I promise you that by morning we'll have some news. We'll know exactly why they're all afraid of the Midnight Horseman.
Hello.
Roderick?
Yes, it's Ella.
Oh.
You want to talk to Belle?
Please, may I?
Yes, just a moment. For you, Belle.
Thank you.
Ella, are you all right? What's wrong?
Is Jason still there?
I guess so. We left him down in the library after you left. Why?
Ye gods, what's eating her?
Shh. Ella, is there anything wrong?
It's hard to explain. I get those feelings. I don't understand them myself, Belle. Jason's in trouble. Princess Rachel's looking on him.
Why, of course, dear. Now, don't you worry about a thing. I'm sure he's fine, but we'll check just to make certain.
Oh, thanks.
Go back to sleep, dear. I'll call you tomorrow.
Sure, thanks again. Good night.
Good night.
Now, what the devil was that all about?
Ella's worried about Jason. Maybe you'd better go down and see if he is all right.
What could happen in the library? He's probably asleep.
Rod, would you mind looking? I told her you would.
I think it's high time she married Jason. Getting more like an old maid every day.
Oh, Rod.
All right. I'll go down to humor both of you. Guess I have to agree. That picture is causing too much trouble. Maybe it had better go. Library door still closed. Not a sound from in there. Must be asleep. I'll knock quietly on the door.
Mr. Van Horn asks not to be disturbed, sir.
Brinkley, what are you doing up?
I have an upset stomach, sir. I went to the kitchen for a remedy.
Did you check on Mr. Van Horn?
No, sir. As I said, he asked not to be disturbed.
When did you retire?
About 11, sir.
To your knowledge, is he still in there?
Yes, sir. I have heard nothing since you left him last evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd better have a look. Jason? 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 Are you in there?
Perhaps we should go in, sir.
Yes, Brinkley, perhaps we should.
Strange. There seems to be no heat in the library.
No light either. Don't turn it on yet. Although it shouldn't be off if he's working. Look around. Can you see him?
No, sir.
Something peculiar here. Jason!
The portrait. It's no longer over the fireplace.
Brinkley, by the hearth. Shadow.
Yes, I see it. It's sitting on the floor.
Does that look like Jason to you?
No, sir.
Quick, the light. We may be too late.
What? It's Mr. Van Horn. Sitting on the floor in front of the portrait. His eyes are open, sir. But he doesn't move. Is he dead, sir?
We'll see. Pulse is all right. No. Some kind of trance. Jason, snap out of it. Wake up.
Perhaps if we turn the portrait around, he seems to be staring at it.
Go ahead. Try it.
There, sir.
Yes. He's stirring.
What's the matter here?
Get us some brandy, Brinkley.
Yes, sir.
And remember, not a word of this to Mrs. Winfield.
I quite understand, sir.
Roderick, I thought I told
you... What time do you think it is?
Oh, why, just a little after midnight. Now, what was that?
It's nearly 4:30, Jason.
I see. Thanks, Roderick.
You were staring at the portrait.
Apparently, among its accomplishments, is a strong hypnotic power.
What did you find out?
No wonder Blum didn't want to sell. He also knew the truth.
Meaning?
My boy, this was painted by a medieval alchemist, or a man with occult powers. An entire ritual is depicted in symbolism. I've copied it down on paper. See?
What does it add up to?
Just this. Give me a day to correct these figures. Tonight we'll perform an experiment that has waited through 7 centuries for fulfillment.
What are you talking about?
Roderick, lad, if I can duplicate this ritual faithfully, tonight, right here in the library, we may stand face to face with the real Midnight Horseman.
Midnight.
Everything is set. Portrait in a square, facing north. We've drawn a circle around us. Each holds a fresh tree branch. Exactly at midnight, we recite the words. This is a rare moment, Rod.
There's something unnatural about this, Jason. As if we were trying to play God.
The ritual wouldn't exist if it weren't meant to be used.
All I did was buy a portrait. Now look how it turned out.
If we're able to do this tonight, we'll go down in history as the first men to span seven centuries.
You don't want to forget what that man is looking for.
Shh. Midnight. Here we go. Ready?
I don't like it at all.
Good. That'll add tension. That's good. Hear the words, lad. Let's say them slowly and clearly.
Absalom.
Bada. Geta.
Lum.
An.
Jektai.
Psalm. Hear anything?
No, just the clock.
What went wrong? Let's see. Quick, drop your branch over the picture. I would forget that. Now the timing's off. Sit very still. It may work yet.
Jason, you believe in too many old wives' tales.
Shh! Don't scoff at things you don't understand. It should begin with the sound of a cold wind. Then we'll hear the hoofbeats of a horse approaching. Just be patient, Roderick.
It didn't work.
I can't understand what went wrong. I was so careful.
Well, that's that for tonight.
Wait. Do you hear it?
The wind.
He's coming. We've won.
No.
In a moment, he'll stand here as big as life.
No, stop it, Jason.
We did it, lad! We did it! You pulled the picture out of the square when we were so close. Why?
I couldn't go through with it. It's unholy, Jason. We shouldn't be doing this.
Lad, I'm disappointed in you. Now we'll have to pick another night and start all over again.
I'm sorry, Jason. You can try again tomorrow, if you like.
Busy, then. Have to wait till the day after.
Okay, the day after.
All right, at least we are certain now. It's just a question of time until we meet the man in person in this very room.
Brinkley, there's no reason for you to remain up.
Yes, sir. It's quite cool in the library. Shall I bring you a coat?
No, thank you.
Mr. Van Horn did not come tonight.
That's right. It's nearly midnight, Brinkley. I don't want to be disturbed further.
Yes, sir. I quite understand, sir. Ring if you need me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Good night. I wonder if I should try it by myself. Jason'd be pretty disappointed if it worked and he weren't here, though. Cold in this room. Jason thinks it's caused by some field of force around the picture. The portrait. There it hangs above the fireplace. A hooded knight. Like a hangman out of some distant nightmare. Bell's right. It is terrifying. Wait. I can't look away. I'm being hipped to the... No, no, no. I did it. Jason was right. Don't stare at the horseman. Lord, it's uncanny. What's the time? A minute to 12. Should I try? Why not? Have to hurry, though. Take the picture down. Is it on the floor? Where's that tree branch? Oh, it's under the couch. There. Now, draw a square with it around the portrait. Okay. And circle around that. The picture faces north. Now, what did I forget? Something else. Oh, yes. Draw a big circle around the picture and me. Okay. She just made it. The words. What are the words? Flossen. Oh, no. I was so close. I wrote them down. There must be somewhere. But where? Be too late in a moment. Must be recited at midnight. Ah, pocket. That's it. That's it. Here they are. Quick, read the words. Absam, Badha, Betha, Lum, An, Jektai, Som. Next, throw the branch on the portrait. There. The wind. I don't hear it. What did I do wrong? I didn't leave out a thing. It's supposed to work. Might as well gather the stuff up and put it back, I guess. Wind. I did it. Hey, the room seems wavy. Eyes playing tricks on me. Horse. It sounded like a galloping horse. He's coming. Midnight horseman. He's heading right for this room. Oh, the room is so wavy. Feel the force in the portrait. Should I stop him while I can? How do I know he won't kill? I can pull the picture out of the square and stop him. What should I do? Belle!
Rod! Oh, Rod, darling! Are you all right? Are you all right?
Belle, you spoiled the whole thing.
I was looking outside and I heard everything. Please, darling, stop this while you can. I'm so afraid.
I thought you were asleep. You weren't supposed to know anything about it.
Oh, what you're doing is evil.
But I haven't done a thing yet.
You can and would if I hadn't stopped you.
Well, I'm confused. I haven't seen a thing. All that's happened is the sound.
Oh, we're lucky that's all that happened.
I'm sorry, darling. Here, dry the tears.
Promise me, Rod. Promise me you won't try it again.
I can't.
Oh, you'll be sorry.
Make a deal with you. First, I want to see you smile, though.
No.
Yes, come on. A big one.
Oh, Rod. Hold me close.
That's better. Poor little girl. You were frightened. Make a deal with you.
Okay. What is it?
Tomorrow is Friday. Jason's coming over tomorrow night. We'll try once more. And this time, if it doesn't work, we'll quit.
What if it does?
Are you game?
Oh, Rod.
I've got to find out. How about it?
I'm against it. But if you must, well, I want to be here with you.
Check. Just one more time, then. I've got to find out if the Midnight Horseman can be brought into being.
Hello?
Hello, is this Eric Blum?
That's right.
I'm Miss Ella Case. It's about the portrait you sold Roderick Winfield.
It's quite late, miss.
They read some kind of symbolism in it.
They what? That's the reason I didn't want to sell it. Are you certain?
Some ritual I believe they perform at midnight.
Where?
At the Winfields. For all I know, they may try again tonight.
Good Lord, it's 11:30. What is your address, Miss Case?
246 Maple Drive.
Not a moment to lose. Pick you up in 10 minutes. If they bring that man back, I wouldn't give a nickel for their lives.
This is it, Ballenrod. Nearly 12. This time we go all the way.
I'll let the servants off tonight so we won't be disturbed.
Good. Are you ready, Belle?
Yes. Get it over, Jason. And remember, this is the last time.
I promised it would be.
Take your places. When the clock strikes, throw your branches on the picture and recite the words. Come what may, we won't try to stop it.
Oh, Ron.
Take it easy, Belle. Everything's going to be all right.
The branches. Quick! The words now. We'll read them together.
Absom Bada Yeta Lum An Jektai Sum.
Rod.
Shh! It should begin now. Listen! I wonder if it'll work again.
It takes time.
Listen! Is. Horse! It's working! It's working!
Rod, you can still stop him.
I missed the chance of a lifetime. Look, the room. It's getting weighted.
Be quiet. In a moment, a man centuries old will stand before us. Living, breathing.
And hating.
Belle, you promised.
Stop him. It's our last chance. He'll kill us. You've got to stop him.
Too late, Belle. That horse is about to crash through those windows.
I'll pull the picture up. Sell it.
Pointing the lance at me.
thou hast fulfilled the prophecy. Know ye, I have found the beloved Belinda.
He's taking bow. Now!
Thou must be well, Baron, without the hood.
He raised the hood. No! Not you!
Dead police! They are
not the lads! Darn it!
Roderick, you've been killed! Oh, Roderick, Roderick!
Broken windows. Yes, he's been here. Look, the portrait. There's a change. The lance, it's missing. Good Lord. Buried in Roderick's heart.
No, no. There's a bloody hole. But where are Jason and Bill?
The answer is in the portrait.
Let me see. There's a girl riding behind the horseman.
Yes. And the hood is now missing from the horseman. You can see his face.
It's Jason. Jason!
Have just heard Macabre, a special Far East Network presentation. Tonight's story was The Midnight Horseman.
Macabre, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 11th, 1961, from the Armed Forces Radio Service. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for listening.